One of our last episodes of the year without a guest. We got plenty of guests coming up this year to finish it out. 2021 is going to be awesome with Summit Boulevard and Yuengling, to name a few. Don't forget to like us on all of our social medias. That's Better on Draft on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Give us a friend on Untappd. Find out everything we drank during the episode. You can watch us live 7 p.m. Eastern Fridays on betterondraft.tv or facebook.com/betterondraft. And we want to give a big thanks to our sponsors, the Tuna Liquor over in Rochester Hills, just south of M59 on Rochester Road, North Center Brewing over in Northville, Michigan, just south of Baseline Road, and of course in downtown Northville, Baffin Brewing over in St. Clair Shores over near the Nautical Mile, as well as PCI Brandcraft. Everything you want to throw a logo on, they handle. That's at PCI Brandcraft on Instagram and Facebook. Thank you so much for listening. Stay tuned next week with our episode with Boulevard. No matter what you think of your beer, we think it's Better on Draft. See you soon. Welcome, everybody. Segment 2, Better on Draft Podcast. My name is Ken. Thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it. Going over real quick, let's see what everybody is drinking. I just finished the Werner Zero Sugar with the Ritual. I'm about to crack open the Tea is Silent series, Hop Tea, the Brilliant Mosaic one. I have had this before. You know, for someone who doesn't like IPAs, like, I love the contrast between the tea and the hops. For those of you who don't know, I used to have a terrible energy drink problem where I would drink. Dan laughs, yeah. I would drink easily three to four Monster energy drinks a day. The can kind of exploded on my desk. Apologies, everyone. and sometime last 2019, end of 2019, I'm just like, you know what? Screw it. I don't want this. I don't want all these energy drinks. So I still drink caffeine, but I get my caffeine from other sources, mostly coffee and tea. A little bit of soda here and there, but I found Hop Tea, which is out of Hop Lark in Colorado, and nearly everything that I have, that's what, if you guys actually look on the video, you can watch the video, youtube.com/betterondraft. I have like a tower of hop tea behind me of a bunch of different hop teas that I've been drinking, but I'm going to pass it off to Wendy as I go clean this up real quick.
I am sticking with the Kunin's White Devil. It's just a fantastic beer. Imperial White Ale. Just nice and smooth. A lot of great flavor. Love it.
What about you, Dan?
I almost grabbed something to try and trigger everyone because I got a couple of Founders downstairs, but I didn't. I'm still double fisting. I've got another White Russian from Sunup. Drinking this Tropical Punch Island Seltzer from Kona, which is pretty damn good. Tastes like Kool-Aid.
Did you pick it up on your trip or?
Yeah, this one I brought back because they don't sell over here. But it basically, if you ever had fruit punch Kool-Aid or tropical punch Kool-Aid, it tastes pretty much like that.
And what about you, Danny?
I'm still working on this big ass can of Cloud 9. Ooh, there's a little left of Cloud 19 from Brew Detroit.
Better get to work. You're falling behind everyone else here. What's going on?
I had all this Chinese food to eat. I'm working on it.
Danny forgot that we had invited her to be on the show for like a good month straight while Rob's going to be flying a jet set.
And so
we're not going to see Rob for a little bit, but don't worry, he's still on the show. Same with Nick. You know, those part-timers.
Still waiting for Nick to pop in here any moment.
I know it might have been a really bad day trying to get his kid down. But before we go into some other topics, there was one more news article I wanted to bring up as I bring up the little news docket that we have right here. And that is the purchase. As we talk a lot about businesses within the brewery itself and aside businesses, there was a huge announcement recently that Uber purchased Drizly for $1.1 billion. That's billion with the B. So that's 10% more than what Ballast Point was worth 6 years ago. they ain't worth $1 billion anymore. The app and the website will stay on its own, but it'll be featured through Uber Eats app as well. Uber also recently purchased the e-commerce marketplace GoPuff, which is going to cause the potential for anti-competitive lawsuits just because there aren't too many liquor delivery sites themselves. And as Uber has the ability to start buying a lot of these third-party sites and turning and we'll talk about it in a minute, but multi-use gig workers. With laws being different in each state, will Uber be able to literally carve out its competition, or are we going to start seeing competitors like DoorDash, Grubhub, and Lyft enter the space of alcohol delivery? We know how hard it is to do alcohol laws. I know in Michigan, Shipt does ship liquor from Meijer. But what do you guys think? Is Uber just going to kind of take over and it's going to be the synonymous with liquor delivery now for across the 50 states? Because not every state has Drizzly right now. Go on, Dan.
So I think this is definitely a state-to-state thing because they pretty much all deliver liquor out here. I can go on Grubhub, order from places that carry liquor. I can go on to Amazon, order liquor.
On-premise or off-premise?
Off-premise, like delivered to my place.
From a liquor store?
Oh, from a liquor store? No, I'm thinking restaurants. GoPuff delivers alcohol, and they're still separate out here. Even if you order on Uber Eats, it still comes from GoPuff. So there are still those, so that's a good point. But
yeah,
from restaurants, they'll still deliver out here. As far as liquor goes, pretty much all of them.
The reason I say this is because there are a handful of gig economy delivery apps that don't even just include food. There's Roadie, I believe, which is an app that has I did a couple trips for it when I was just getting laid off, and you basically deliver, like, you're a contractor for like Home Depot and Lowe's and Tractor Supply Co. I didn't have a truck, so I couldn't take a lot of the deliveries, but someone who was like, oh well, since it's COVID and I'm home, I might as well start a garden, let's buy 10 bags of soil. But do we think that creating a lot of these gig economy jobs is going to help or hurt the industry that we're trying to save by continuously ordering from them? Dan, you talk about having, you still need someone to pot prep and box the food, but you don't need someone to serve you if you're getting delivery. So you don't need as many people doing service. And then if you guys don't know what a ghost kitchen is, there are a lot of kitchens that are ghost kitchens, which is basically just a site that has a kitchen and you cook and a person will literally pick it up. There's a what they call, it's a ghost kitchen. It's a pizza organization. It's got Steve Aoki's pizza company in it. I can't think of what it is. Well, I know the name of his pizza company is Pizza Aoki. But the ghost kitchen itself, it's literally just people make the food based on whatever the order is and then put it in the box. And it's like, you would think you're ordering from 8 different places, but really you're ordering from one. Oh, Danny, I'm going to have to teach you all about ghost kitchens after this show, but this is,
you didn't know that? Oh yeah. They're big out here, especially. They got one right up the road from us.
I'm actually,
people not knowing that the same thing. Like you order like a chicken sandwich from someplace and you're like, yeah, this tastes weird. Maybe they're just having an off night, or like, what is the deal?
So if let's do it from the high level. So what a company does is they'll purchase a dead Pizza Hut store because it's got a pizza kitchen inside of it. And what they'll do is that you'll have, and this is not real, I'm just going to use known pizzerias. You could order Jets, Domino's, Little Caesars, Pizza Hut, and Papa John's. And they all come from this one place, all in the same building using the same kitchen. And then they box it up and it's, properly monetized. So, if you purchase something from Jets, it's in a Jets box. If you purchase something from, and it's not the same food, you're ordering a Jets pizza, just like Pizza Aoki, you're ordering a Pizza Aoki pizza. Whatever. I think it's a new York style pizza that they have there. So you're ordering all from the same location and the people are picking it up from the same location. So you could technically order like a Jets and a Domino's at the same place, and it's the same driver bringing both your food. But they obviously don't brand because it's all competition. So, yeah, ghost kitchens are really interesting. The whole point of them is to just be a kitchen for to go.
Wow.
And that... There's a lot more levels to go into it, but that's like the 10,000 foot view. But yeah, there are a lot of times you've probably ordered, if there's a place that's like carry out only, there might be two or three restaurants running out of the same kitchen.
Yeah, if you see the address is the same as you're looking through things, it's the ghost kitchen. There's one, there's probably 15 different places running out of it just up the street from me. So if you pay attention to where it's coming from, or if you're going to go pick it up with the addresses, that's probably what it is.
Wow.
Yep, and there's a lot of brands that you know of that they're, if they're doing just a carryout thing, they might just rent out a spot in a ghost kitchen, like a Jamba Juice or a, like a Cheesecake Factory or a Cinnabon. And if you're like, oh, it's carryout only, why can't I go there? Well, it's probably because there's eight different places selling food out that, that place.
So I'm curious, as usually when you hear people talk about ghost kitchens, you hear them talk about it in a negative manner. Why is that?
Yeah.
I guess because it's not really goes with the flow of a restaurant mentality. There's no cashiers because everything's done online. The only people there are chefs, cooks, chefs, etc. People cleaning, dishwashers, whatever, because obviously you got to clean the stuff that you use to cook. But yeah, a lot of people don't like it. Just because it kind of goes against the flow of what a regular restaurant would be. So it would probably be the exact same as if you, you know, the first person that opened up, like, there's that carryout Green Lantern in Madison Heights. It's like off of Stevenson. Like, people would probably get really upset because that's not a, you know, normal pizza place. That's a
carryout. Is that the way too small a bar where you you have to squeeze through?
It's not even a bar. It's literally just walk up and it's a counter. It's just like a regular to-go pizzeria, like a Domino's. You know, there's like no sit-down Domino's. Yeah, Hungry Howie's. Yeah, so when people talk about ghost kitchens, a lot of people like them because if you don't have your own restaurant but you want to cook, it's a lot cheaper than trying to figure out your own restaurant. But a lot of people don't like it because there's a lot of money and people getting in there that just have money. You know, I literally just looked up Ghost Kitchen and you're looking at names like Steve Aoki and Dwayne Wade. You know,
Guy Fieri was setting up a bunch out here actually. So
he
it's
open one over here.
Yeah, you can run a restaurant with the least amount of people to maximize profits. And I think a lot of people, especially because we're in the industry of restaurants, don't like it. I'm almost kind of waiting for when we're going to start seeing more co-ops of breweries, like multiple breweries running out of the same spot, kind of like what ABI does over in Kalamazoo. Now, Brewery Otois is getting their own site here soon, but there is like Brewery Otois, there is like two or three meaderies, there is a distillery over there, all in the same building. So, you know, it's there's a lot of politicking that goes into ghost kitchens, probably just because they also probably don't have the same amount of rules they have to follow as a regular restaurant since you're not doing carryout. No customers are coming in. The only people that are coming in are contractors, drivers, and employees. That's it. So, I don't even. Oh, we were talking about Drizzly. Drizzly, Uber Eats, gig economy. Is it? No. It's okay. We'll expand a little bit more offline about ghost kitchens, and I'll kind of give my more personal opinion on them later. But regarding gig economy, do we think I'm so off now? I feel like we just should just go past it. The time has passed. Uber Eats was
Uber Eats bought Drizzly.
Yeah, Uber bought Drizzly. Gig economy, is it good for the industry? I don't know. I don't know anymore. I felt like I had an opinion like 6 minutes ago. Not anymore. I don't know if I talked myself out of it or anything like that, but, you know, I'm a big fan of the, I love service. I love customer service. You guys know I love to talk. Everybody knows I love to talk, obviously. But I feel like you just get a lot of rapport building, and it's just something that I love, is just talking to, even if it's a server, like interacting. I love that interaction part of any type of transaction, whether it's customer service, support, anything like that. just because I've done it so long, and I appreciate when people, you know, have a conversation with me when I'm trying to fix their stuff, and I'm like, all right, you know, don't just call me every four-letter name in the book. Yeah, that's that topic. But I want to throw it to Dan. Dan, I tasked you all, including you, Dan, to come up with a topic to discuss on the show for today. The floor is yours.
So we've kind of talked about this because of something that happened with you, Ken, but we haven't really talked about it without guests here to talk about other things. And it really kind of hit me, too, while I was out in Hawaii. So let's talk about this fact that you went out to Maine and Vermont, and all you could find were Pilsners and IPAs. Is that correct?
90% of the beers that I saw were Pilsners and IPAs.
Meanwhile, I go out to Hawaii, I'm fine, and I'm not just in, I went to one brewery that would be in a tourist area, but I'm finding ESBs, barrel-aged stouts, barrel-aged browns, everything you can think of as far as that goes. What is everyone's opinion? Do you think these breweries are missing the mark trying to go after Pilsner or just one type of beer because they think that's what everyone drinks? Are they alienating a part of the fan base to do that in the long term, losing out on money by doing so? Ken, let's hear from you. I want to hear your full unedited opinion on this.
Or unfiltered opinion.
Okay. Unfiltered opinion.
We won't bring up the brewery names.
No, don't have to.
But as I went, if I show up to a brewery and I do not see, and I have a long list of styles that I like. I can drink a Pilsner, I could drink a lager, but if I'm going there to try a beer, or I want a beer with the food, I don't necessarily, you know, want something like light or crisp. I want something more flavorful, or maybe I'm just there for a beer and I want something a little bit darker and maltier. So when I go in, and especially if they don't have flights, and my choice is to gamble on a pint of an IPA that I don't like, or IPA, which is a style I don't like, and that's really my only choice. No, I'm not going to be happy. I'm going to be disappointed. I'm going to be sad, especially if it's a brewery that I do love and I love a lot of their offerings, and I don't have even offerings that I've had before. You know, there's two things to think about, and that's the topic we talked about on the last show. If you haven't listened to it yet, go download it. But IPAs are literally 42.9% of all off-premise dollars. As I'm looking at the stat, that means that 42%, 43% of beers sold, money-wise, are a form of IPA. Hazy, imperial, regular, etc. And when we look at a lot of these breweries that grew in business, a lot of them are growing because of their IPA styles. That's New Belgium with their Voodoo Ranger, Firestone Walker with their, no, that's, it's not 405, I think that's their lager. I'm not too familiar with Firestone. But if I go to a brewery, do I expect them to have every single style in their coffins? Like, you know, do I expect an alt beer at every brewery? Hell no. I'm honest with myself. I'm honest with everyone. I don't expect an ESB. But if you were to tell me that I went to a brewery and they didn't have a brown, an amber, an ESB, an English mild, an alt, wheat, I'm trying to think of any other,
a stout,
a porter,
a porter.
You didn't have any of those styles. I would be like, what are you? Where's the mark? You're obviously not making beer that's geared towards me, which is fine. That's your business. We called it earlier on the last show. Like, your business is your business, and you brew what you want to brew, and that's perfectly fine. I don't have to be happy with it. But I personally, if you're not going to at least throw me one of those styles, I'm going to be really sad. I'm going to be so disappointed when I go to that brewery. And the brewery that I posted about on the Facebook, like, that wasn't the only one that had that option. Another one had seven double IPAs, a sour, and a lager. That was my choices. And six doubles, a single, a sour, and a lager. And I went with the lager. I found a new love for lagers on this trip. I tell you what, they forced me to do it, and I was happy with the results. But I was not. It's something to where if I went to a brewery, I went to, and this isn't like, oh, you ran out of beer because of X, Y, or Z, and these were the only beers left. Their tap list was full. These were the beers that they had. Like if I remember when Ascension opened, 5-6 years ago, and they ran out of beer. And people were pissed, and they closed, and they're like, we're not going to keep the kitchen open if you can't drink our beer either. But I'm like, I understand that. If you run out of beer, especially, they said they doubled what they made double what they expected to sell and still sold out. And I mean, that was back when we were still at like 200 breweries. We're at like 400 now. It's a completely different ballgame.
Yeah.
Those kinds of open, like, I understand that. I understand that if something happens, kind of like how, Artisan Reserve over in Romulus, like, they were never open that often. And then you realize they're on a one barrel system and one of the partners died. And you're like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm glad I'm here. But on a one barrel system, I was able to try 3 or 4 different styles there.
Yep.
So there's definitely decisions made, like the decision that the brewery made. Seasonal, I was a little bit early for the Marzens and the Oktoberfests and all those beers, except for like off-premise, because obviously Oktoberfests are being sold in July, which I'm fine with too. But there just wasn't any beers for me to like at those breweries. I love the Pils. The Pils was great. Crushed it. Went great with my pizza too, but again, that list of styles that I named, that was like 12 different styles, including Ambers, which Ambers is one of the top like non-light or IPA sellers. I think Amber is the top selling malty beer. I think Amber overdoes stouts, overdoes porters. If you can't even give me something like that, I just don't know. I'm not going to be happy when I go there. And sure, I'll try a beer or I'll try a flight. Like if I could have tried a flight at one of those places, I probably would have been happier. Cause at that point I could have at least been disappointed in 6 different beers, or maybe found an IPA that matches my malt profile that I like and my hop profile that I want. I don't know. I've talked long enough. You really got me on a on a tangent, Daniel.
And it's actually good to hear because you actually had a chance to talk about it instead of having a guest here or just trying to touch on it a little bit. Yeah. Danny, what about you? I know you like lighter beers. Would you be turned off if you were trying to go to a new brewery and it was nothing but stouts and browns and they didn't have anything? They didn't have a pilsner. They didn't have a lager. Would you be upset with that?
I mean, I want to say no, but like sometimes, I don't know, it's sometimes a little bit of like research on the consumer needs to be done. Like we went to England 3 years ago and I remember it wasn't until like our 6th or 7th city that I found a beer that I wanted to drink. And it was because I didn't like English beers, like English Miles or
ESBs.
I didn't like real ale.
Like, you don't like beer on cask, so that makes it tough if you're going over there.
It was tough. So we found a Daya beer that they said was double dry hop, but it's really just a pale ale, and it was I remember it so fondly. But anyway, now I don't know. I love cask ale now, and I just feel like as a because I'm like studying for my Cicerone, I think I would be more open. Like, okay, we're at a place. I'm here. Lean in, you know, like try the stuff that I maybe wouldn't normally try. Cause I am a New England drinker, but I like maybe 3 or 4 New Englands. So great. But yeah, I think I would just have to lean in. I do like a good stout. I do like a good porter. I don't like barrel aged, so I'm out. But what was I saying?
It feels like the trend for this show.
You brought up a good point though. So you know, consumers, doing a little research is a good fact. Now, Ken, I believe you mentioned you didn't take a look before you went.
So the brewery in question, is known for their IPAs. Well known for their IPAs. I actually know them for a lot of their other beers. And these are beers that are distroed. So while I knew they're known for their IPAs, I personally just knew them for other styles of beer. I knew them for their amber, their stout. Obviously, I had their stout on the show right before I went there, thinking I was going to pick up more bottles.
I remember.
Joke's on me. So yeah, it's I understand, like, you know, and people talked about it when I posted, like, you know, doing the research before you go to a brewery. But I literally have never looked at a brewery list before I went to a brewery, because I honest to God have never had that happen, let alone it happened twice in the same trip. But if you go to a brewery here in Michigan, I would give you really good odds that you'll never see that here in Michigan unless you're going to Holmes.
You know, and someone had mentioned that too when they were commenting on that. It's like, well, the brewery can do whatever they want. Of course they can. Absolutely. It is their business, but I'm also not going to spend my dollars there. If I can't get a style of beer, I'm going to want to try. So it actually brought me to, when I was in Honolulu, looking at breweries to go to based on what they had, which led me to the best ESB I've ever had, including anything I've had in England. What was that? It was at Broken Boundary. If you're ever in Honolulu, definitely go there. Their ESB was killer. And their Irish Red that they added ginger to was amazing. I've actually got a crawler of that downstairs I should have probably opened. But what about you, Wendy? You love darker beers as well. I know you like lighter beers, but you are a dark beer fan. Would you walk into a brewery if you knew they just had one or two styles of beer on tap?
No, chances are probably not. I am a big fan of variety. I like to try different things all the time. I'm a huge fan of stouts, but my favorite style of beer is actually a Belgian triple. So it's, I mean, you can't go too opposites too much. So, I mean, I do like to run the gambit. I think you're wrong though, Ken. I think that you'll see that a lot more often in Michigan than you think. I have been to a lot of breweries where I don't have a whole lot of dark options, or I don't have a lot of light options, depending on what is going on. I always like to try flights because I like to try the different beers that they make. I don't think that you can get a good idea of a brewery based on one or two beers. But that leads me to my question. And that is, it has to do with flights. Because it has been brought up on a couple of different sites, and I see it brought up every now and then, that the beer tenders do not like serving flights because it takes longer. People get upset if it isn't fast enough, I guess. But I've also had people say that you can't get a good judgment of the beer in such a small amount, that you should drink a bigger glass in order to get a better decision on whether or not you actually like the beer. But I do like to sample all the different things. So I'm a huge fan of flights, and I just wanted to get your guys' opinion, because I know all of you like to travel to breweries as well. And I know that we all like different styles of beer. So are you more apt to get a flight, or would you prefer to get just a pint somewhere? Go ahead.
I was going to say, if you would have asked me a couple years ago, I would have said my normal flight and a pint. If I'm going to a brewery, I want a flight and then a pint of either their brown or their amber or whatever beer that I know I'll probably like. And then to try out the rest. Now I kind of just, if I'm traveling a lot, usually I'll just kind of look for whatever the lightest beer is. Or if I'm, whatever I'm doing, it's just however I feel that day. Like, I'll look at the styles and maybe I'll choose it because of a name, or I'll choose it because of a price, or, oh, it's on discount. All right, let's do it. Let's see what it tastes like. There isn't really much thought that goes into it now. When I go to a brewery, I can't tell you the last time I had a flight that wasn't like, if Julia and I were going on a trip and like we would share a flight before we went to the next brewery. So we got a chance to really taste a little bit of everything. But I think that I understand the servers too, the beer tenders and the flight issues. And I think that flights need to have like a time limit. Like flights are during the week or during the day or, you know, during the non-pressing time. And if it's not during those times, flights are not available. Cause if a server's trying to, you know, and they have a lot of tables and this table sits down and it's 8 people and all 8 want a flight of 6 different beers. Now they're pouring, quick math here, 48 glasses of beer. Yeah, it's not a fun experience for them. And while they're pouring those 48, they're not servicing the other tables. So I think beer flights just need to have a time limit. But that's my opinion. I'll shut up now.
Now, are people really getting mad over the time it takes to get a flight? That's actually kind of crazy.
I've never heard anybody. Have
you ever looked at, like, the world?
Like, I've never seen it, so I'm like, I don't know. People get angry? Like, is that really something to get mad about? Like,
why did that customer's food come out before mine? Well, sir, you ordered a extremely well-done steak.
Jesus. See, that just...
They ordered French fries.
I already hate people. That makes me hate people even more. Because, come on, it's beer. It's supposed to be fun. Why are we getting angry over how long it takes to pour a beer?
Yeah.
Like, but what I do opposite. So I drink whatever brought me in, because ever since especially Ken ran into his issue, I look at the breweries ahead of time to see what they have. And I go in there to order what caught my eye, get a pint of that. And then if I like that, I'll usually order a flight of what else I have to try everything out. Because if I try what I had tried sucks, I'm going to be kind of hesitant to try anything else. But if it's good, then I'm going to try a bunch of other beers to see what they've got going there, and then that'll help me decide if I want to take something home with me, whether it be crawler or what they have canned or bottled, anything like that.
I'm these days, like, it depends on like how many places I'm going to go in a day. I love to sample. I hate to flight. Like, I just want a little bitty taste and then I want a pint, but I'll do a flight. I went to Harpoon in Boston a few years ago, and they had this, it's a bonkers, crazy, busy place, but they have this amazing system where you can get a flight, but it's either these 4 beers or these 4 beers in a row. So they literally put the tray underneath it and then just go 1, 2, 3, 4, here's your beers. That's it. Like, you can get this flight or this flight. And it was so fast and so efficient. I've never seen anything like it. So that's amazing. That's the way to make it the way to serve flights. But normally I don't like to jump in with both feet. I want to dip one toe and then think about it, and then one toe and then think about it. But a flight or like 8 samples. That's what I'll do.
So are you the person at the brewery asking for a taste of like 12 different beers before you order which one you want?
They hated me at Jolly Pumpkin for that reason.
And now I see why people are getting angry and throwing chairs. Just get over a flight. Yeah.
I don't know. If you're trying all those different beers at Jolly Pumpkin, they're all so sour and salty. I don't know how you can tell the difference between them if you're just drinking a little bit one after another.
They're not for me. That's the end.
I don't know who they like. I know Rob tries. I do my best to try. Like, I love like a sour brown, but it's just, I don't know. Mm-mm.
Nope.
Yeah, Jolly Pumpkin just doesn't do it for me anymore. And I know a lot of people love those sours. I had a blast when I went to Blue Tractor over in Ann Arbor. Got a lot of good beers over there, which is another Northern United Brewers. But that would be, you know, harkening back to Dan's question a little bit, is that you know what you're getting into when you buy a Jolly Pumpkin beer and you go to Jolly Pumpkin Brewery. You know you're getting sours. You know you're getting that style of beer. That's understandable. Like, for me, like, as much as your Jolly Pumpkin is famous for sours, they don't brew anything else. So it's not like you go get anything else other than a sour. So that was my problem with said brewery from earlier. Is that I know you make other beers and you dish your other beers. I just want one of
them. Where?
Yeah, where are they? They're nowhere. They weren't at any store either. I was just like, damn. No, none of these beers that I want are at the store. Dan, though, man, I really just don't understand. Like, the amount of things that I've seen in the industry, the restaurant industry as a whole, not just the brewery industry, like, you're missing a lot of really bad interactions here where people are just really big assholes.
I don't want to see them because I might like try to out asshole them and tell them to get the fuck out. And I don't even work there, so it's probably a good thing.
Like a vigilante.
What the servers really want to say, but it's Dan. Just show you. They hired Dan to be the asshole.
Like, what are they going to do? Usually, you know, here's a good story. We were flying back. We had to go to Northern Michigan a couple of weeks ago, and we were in Chicago O'Hare flying back on the way back. And we were at this little Goose Island bar. And this guy got super angry because he couldn't buy his prepackaged sandwich from the guy who was serving beer. He had to go to another line. He ended up throwing the sandwich. He was so mad and like swearing, like calling the guy an MF-er. He also threw his wallet and it went over the bar. And the bartender and everything like, no, I'm not getting it to you. The guy ended up getting cuffed and dragged out over it. It was pretty entertaining. It's like, act like an asshole. And that's kind of what you win, you know? The whole play stupid games, win stupid prizes. Like, I guess you can act like that at a restaurant, but that's kind of the end result if you're going to be like that.
Yeah, a lot more cops over in the airport than just a regular restaurant.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I guess that's a good point.
You don't have, you know, some, you know, just imagine if somebody was trying to pull that shit at Augie's. Like, you know.
Well, I can't remember the bouncer's name, but he would come waddling over and probably whoop your ass.
Well, that's true, but
he'd pull a Ken when he's like fighting a guy half his size and just fall on him.
That guy works at that guy works at 9 p.m. He doesn't work at 8 p.m.
Yeah, that's true.
So what's happening at 8 or, you know, at noon and someone had a few too many liquid lunches that, you know,
that's true.
That's taking a long break from the tech center.
That is a good point.
And I want to, there's a great way to tie this whole thing up, which is that, you know, the restaurant industry obviously is seeing a staffing shortage, and there are a lot of points to be made, both regarding the staffing shortage as well as regarding what can be done, what should be done. There are a lot of servers who will tell you, hey, I don't want you to raise my minimum wage because I'm walking out with $400, $500 a night. And there are servers who work in like fucking Okemos, Michigan, who need that kind of wage because not only are they not making that much money, but the people who are tipping ain't tipping much. So there, when you go to these restaurants, be mindful of that. Be understanding of that. That they might not have everyone there. They might not have a full. If you see, and this is one thing that I love telling people is that if you see open chairs, that doesn't mean that table is available to be sat and you can just go sit your ass down. If they say there's a wait, there's a wait. Because if they crash the entire restaurant and sit everyone down, and then they crash the kitchen, and then your food takes 2 hours, you're gonna be pissed. Yeah. I'd rather tell you, you got an hour and a half wait before you sit down to get your food in 30 minutes versus not. So go on, Dan.
You know, a good point, too, to remember, and I wish people would remember this, it's not a right to go to a restaurant. It is a privilege. So, you know, you don't have the right to go in there and start demanding things. That's a privately owned business. You know, it's if you don't like what they're doing, leave. You know, at the end of the day, don't take it out on the people working. I mean, it's everyone knows what's going on in the world right now. So just don't act like a jackass. That's one of the things that kind of pisses me off. Like, it's you don't have to act like that to people who have no control over the whole situation.
Oh, yeah. The 17-year-old host who just got off, you know, finished her history exam 3 hours ago and has to study for a math test the next night.
Yeah. Exactly.
Has no fucking control over whatever the rule is or the fact that that section is not open for you to sit down.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys, just because there's enough wait staff for the tables doesn't mean that the tables are open, because there might not be enough people in the kitchen or enough people at the bar. Or maybe the server has to wait for the bartender to make the drink. It's not the server's fault that it took the bartender a minute. Or maybe the bartender, you know, is fucking getting killed right now and it's taking her forever because people are ordering 8 flights of beer.
8 mojitos. Like, let's go. I mean, Ken, we doing this?
So,
go on.
I have a story about that, just to kind of tie that up.
Is it you that ordered 8 flights?
No, I've never. I don't think I've ever ordered 8 flights. I don't. I may have.
You could do that at Dragon Mead. There's enough beer.
I have been there and drank a lot of flights, but not at the same time. Anyway, so today is my dad's birthday. We go out to dinner for his birthday. The server comes over. And I asked her what the beer on tap was. She said she wasn't 100% sure. She said, we have a Lagunitas, and then gave us a list of some other stuff. I said, do you know which Lagunitas it is? And she said, no, I don't drink beer. I'm like, okay. Can you... She's like, oh, I could check. I said, well, you can check when you go to get my dad's beer. You don't have to, like, make a special trip on it. Like, I'm not in that big of a rush for it. But she came back and she said, it's an IPA. Well, do you know how many IPAs Lagunitas makes that you can get at a restaurant? So I was like, I will just take the Oktoberfest. Thank you. But like, she walked away, and I just looked at my parents, and I was like, really? And my mom goes, maybe she's filling that position they've been trying to fill for the last 3 months. So it kind of put it in a different perspective for me that, yes, she was not a great server in that situation, but maybe she's new. Maybe she's filling a position that they didn't have anybody else for before.
Yeah, and this is her first time in, like, hospitality, maybe.
Too. Yep.
That's a good point.
I mean, yeah, a lot of people left the industry. A lot of people left their original industries and went somewhere else, including people who left the restaurant industry to go somewhere else. So, you know, I shouldn't say that's a bad server. That's a server that can be trained better. That's what I should say, is that it's a server that could be trained better. And there are go on.
And she did not deserve to have her tips taken away because she responded that way. Because maybe she was having a bad day. That's all. I just want to point that out either. She still got a full tip from me because I have no idea what's going on in her life.
Absolutely not. I never under tip somebody just because of something that I perceive to be unacceptable. Like, it's not up to me. Like, you're still doing a thing that I don't want to do. Have all of my money, please. Yeah.
Yep. I can't. Well, not all of it, but. I'm willing to give you your fair share.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to ask you guys one final question. I'm going to put you on the spot. You're going to have to answer very fast, and then we're going to go into King of the Hill. I have some interesting new King of the Hill cards. Beer IQ, so it'll be quite interesting to say the least. With that in mind, this is a restaurant, not a bar, not a brewery. I mean, they might serve alcohol. This is a fictional restaurant.
Okay.
Restaurant closes at 9:00. When's the latest you will show up to that restaurant? Wendy.
Oh, what kind of food is it? 8:30.
Pub and grub.
8:30.
Pub and grub.
8:30.
Burgers, fries, salads, chicken, that kind of stuff. 8:30. Dan?
Yeah, 8:15, 8:30, somewhere in there.
Danny?
Yeah.
8.
8, okay. There are wrong answers. None of you gave a wrong answer, but there are wrong answers to that question. I will give you guys a pro tip.
8:55 is not correct.
I'll give you guys a pro tip. If you say, for instance, you're traveling or something like that, it's the only place that's open. They close in 5 minutes, and you go there. Buy a round for the kitchen.
Oh,
really?
Buy a round for the kitchen. Don't order anything too extravagant, and you will be fine. If they got to turn on the oil for French fries and a burger, they'll be fine if you buy them around. I mean, they might still be mad at you, but they might not spend.
Yeah, that is a very good point.
Yeah.
So, because there are times, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've flown into a city and it's like, 11 o'clock at night, and I'm like, shit, there is nothing open. Like, and yeah. I see a bar, and it's open at, like, open until 11. I'm like, I will buy the whole kitchen. I'll buy the staff. I'll buy whoever around as long as I'm getting my food. Yeah. Like, sure, I'm going to
be now it's even earlier than that.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I couldn't find anything open at 10 o'clock on Sunday. It was crazy.
Hawaii still has ridiculous restrictions in place. Everything was closed by 10 o'clock on a Friday night.
Oh,
and wow. we landed at 9:45, so that was a good time. Yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this episode, Better on Draft Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate it. We will be back the rest of the year. We're filling up with guests, so it's going to be exciting to have a bunch of guests, including the likes of Summit, Boulevard, Yingling, Revolution, Live Oak. There's a meadery in Ohio that I am excited to have. That's Four Fires. So we're going to have a lot of breweries coming in to our virtual studio to do shows through the rest of the year. And just stay tuned. Yeah, 7 o'clock Fridays. Join us in the chat. We're always here. Danny, thank you so much for guest hosting. We'll see you next week because Rob's going to be gone still next week with Boulevard Brewing. That's going to do it. Better on Draft, no matter what you think of your beer. We think it's... Better on Draft. Have a good night.